Hello, everyone, and welcome to our series of podcasts. What if there were a way for you to change your state just by tuning into nature? What if you could have more energy? And how would it be if you had just a simple recipe for living your life every day that brought more peace and more clarity? As you listen, you'll receive some insights and some really practical everyday wisdom that will help you to enjoy life and make the most of it, even when your mind runs away with you. I'm really excited and inspired to introduce you to our latest guest, Anne Kelly. Anne says her journey as a coach over the last 23 years has shown her to be a dreamer on an off-road adventure to higher ground. She describes her purpose as being to free our minds and spirits so we can be true to ourselves and trust life. So Anne, I'm delighted to have you here. And would you like to say anything just to bring yourself into the space?
Yeah, really all I'm going to say is thank you very much, Monica. I'm curious about what's going to happen in this conversation.
Me too.
I'm open to it, you know. I would like to be as articulate as possible. And if people can benefit from this, brilliant, you know. So, yeah, let's see what happens.
Excellent. And as you know, my intention, which I shared with you, and I share every time I hold these podcasts, is really to inspire myself, to inspire you, so you inspire yourself, and that we cascade inspiration out into the world in whatever way people will find it useful. Mm. So, you know, I'm just trusting that intention. And I always start by, you know, inviting us and anybody who's listening in to really come present, just with a bit of a centering, just coming into the space together. So I'll just guide us in that, and then we can dive into the real meaty bit of the conversation. So for ourselves and anybody who's listening, the first thing I always say is consciously take space. It's almost like you make the journey from the outside to inside, and from the head into your heart. And if you're sitting, just make good contact between your feet and the ground. We're always held by Mother Earth, whether we even think of it or not. And notice any sensation in your feet, any aliveness. If you happen to be sitting, you could press into your sit bones, which allows your spine to just ever so gently become a little bit more upright. And if you're standing, you can just become aware of becoming more upright. Just bring a sense of uplift into your body, into your being. Because that allows the energy to flow more freely, and it brings an alignment. It's like your head, your heart, and your gut are stacked one on top of the other, so that when you speak, you come from an aligned place. And then let's become aware of our breath for a moment. Our breath is always with us. It's always a resource. So leaving a long, slow exhale down into the earth, and I'll do it out loud. It's almost like emptying a balloon, and that just calms your system. And then breathing upwards, imagining that your breath is a spiraling going up, maybe like a bird going up on the thermals. Just that sense of uplift and spaciousness. And then become aware of the space around you, because when we're stressed, everything closes in. So if you could imagine that there's space around you that you can just relax into and become your full self. Take up your full space in the world. And we could give the mind an inquiry, like throwing a stick for a dog. What if my energy was equal and even to the left and right of me? And it's funny, but your body will start to look for that. And what if my energy was equal and even to the front and back of me. And again, give your body a few seconds just to find that. And what if my energy were equal and even above my head and below my feet? And it's amazing what the body starts to feel for that. And you might notice ever so subtly the sense that you're held in a cocoon of your own energy. It's like a home to come to whenever you need it, just by paying attention to the space and just through your breath and posture. And then relax your jaw, your shoulders, just let them drop a little. And anywhere where you normally hold tension, just imagine that it's like melting chocolate, but without the calories. And lastly, invite in a quality of energy that's like a gift to you. You know, it's like when you put on your favorite clothes or your favorite piece of jewelry, you just feel something extra that's available in you. So what if you could bring in a quality just by whispering it internally? It might be kindness or space or generosity. Just notice if a word is trying to present itself to you, a quality you could cultivate. And it's not about hard work, it's just about letting it come into you. If you had just 2% more of that quality, what might be possible for you? And just to say, in embodied leadership, we work with the quality over time, and I'm still working probably a year and a half. I'm working with the quality of light, which is luminosity. So I begin to feel a little bit more shiny and a little bit more energy and capacity coming into my being. And from that place, just take a moment to allow yourself to connect with your intention for being here with us today. Just let the question drop in. What's my intention for myself? What's my intention for myself? What's the gift I could take from this call, from this conversation? Just let that pop in and percolate around. And who knows, you might even get an answer by the time we finish speaking. So Anne, you look very relaxed there, you're smiling beautifully. And the question that really, I suppose I'm very curious about, because you always look as if you're kind of luminous yourself. What lights you up? You know, what is it that really brings you to life?
There's quite a few things, actually. Somebody once described me as a bride married to amazement.
Wow. Oh my God, I just got a shiver down through my body. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So many things, Monica, really. Nature does, you know. I could be outside and a bird can appear in front of me and can hang around. And I just feel so connected at that point. You know, I just think, okay, I'm here, and so is all of life, you know, and it just gives me that kind of boost. That's one thing. Or sometimes when I'm walking, there would be an animal, like a hare one day. It was kind of a couple of hundred yards up the road. And firstly, it was unaware of me. And then it became aware of me and it stopped. And it kept staring. And even though I was still moving, it didn't move. You know, I said, oh, my God, are you going to move or not? You know what I mean? So it didn't for ages, and then it did, but it came closer. And twice that happened, that it came closer. And I thought, this is unusual because this hare is wild. And then it just took off, you know. But I suppose I was totally engrossed in what the hare was doing. Nothing else mattered. And it was like a moment of connection. And that kind of gives me a lift, you know? It kind of adds another dimension into my walk. The other thing as well is that being surprised by life, you know, when something happens that is lovely and I don't expect it. Sometimes when I'm going along, you know, I might say, okay, show me something beautiful today, you know? And next thing could be the sunrise just coming up, because sometimes I'm heading off early in the morning and the sun, just this ball of red and orange just rising in the horizon. It's like, you know, I just, my spirits soar, you know, and I'm kind of, wow, I'm on a high. And then also the triumph of people's spirits over their circumstances. That continues to amaze me and wow me. Like I was once volunteering at a leadership summer school for students and young people, and they brought in this speaker, can't remember her name, but she was a water skier and she had got to the Olympics. And before she could go, she was involved in this horrific accident on the water and every bone in her body was broken.
Good.
So they literally had to put her back together again. And would you believe it? A couple of years later, she was back ready for the Olympics again, back skiing, back at her, you know, with her level of ability, similar to the last one. So what that person, that lady must have gone through to actually conquer everything that she would have had to conquer, and how her spirit must have been so strong to bring her through it. That I found, and I've never forgotten it because this happened years ago.
Then
a recent thing was, I don't know if you read it, but there's a book called The Salt Path.
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's about this couple who I think were in their late 50s, early 60s, and their business partner had made a few bad decisions or wrong decisions. And long story short, they lost everything, their farm, their home, everything, their income.
Wow.
So instead of becoming homeless and like, you know, like everybody else, really, they decided that they were going to walk the salt path in England, which is 600 kilometers. The husband had got a diagnosis as well, and he had a life-threatening disease. And they set off. They had very little money because everything was gone from them. So they might have had something like 60 pounds a week, if that. So they walked, they camped, and they walked, and they kept on walking. And they just took, you know, it was hard. Some days were good, some days were not so good. Some days they were watching somebody eating an ice cream and they knew they couldn't have it, they couldn't afford it. You know, it was very tough. But what was interesting was they finished it. The husband's health improved.
Wow.
And their life has turned around for the better. So that stayed with me, you know. And I think it's important because sometimes in my own life, and also when I'm coaching people, the circumstances seem to be too tough. But actually, we have so much more inside us that if we just call on it, and everything is possible. So like always, new possibilities, or the idea of new possibilities, inspires me, you know, and lights me up. Just those words, even, new possibilities. Oh, wow. It takes me somewhere else. It changes my level of consciousness to something higher, the adventure onto higher ground, you know?
Wow.
So at that, I do believe everything is possible, you know? And I think we don't need to know the detail of what that possibility is. I think just getting into that zone of what else is possible can actually cause other things to happen around us. You know, so Yeah.
And as I listened to you, I mean, two things that really stand out for me is when you spoke about, you know, nature and the hair, and you spoke about, you know, show me something beautiful. It sounds like you have a partnership with, I don't know, with spirit or with some form of inspiration. And I've often heard you use the phrase, you know, what else is possible? So, you know, yeah, I'm just curious about those two things seem to be really a big part of you.
Yeah. Yeah, the show me something beautiful is actually to my wiser, higher self.
Mm.
My higher selves that are actually on that higher ground, you know.
Really?
So it's like it's staying in touch with that aspect of me and giving them something to do as well. But I suppose in sometimes it can be proof that you're there, you know, prove to me that you're still around. Prove to me that actually I can count on you, you know. And I am very much kind of about the miracles, you know, that miracles happen, and also words inspire me, you know. Yeah, they can change my level of consciousness again. Like years ago, I read this quote, like when I was starting out as a coach, I've never forgotten the last sentence of it, but I pulled it out actually for this, and it's by Philip Brooks. Where is it gone to now? It's here. And it is, pray not for tasks equal to your powers. Rather, pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be the miracle. And you shall be the miracle, stayed with me.
Yeah.
And when we think of, you know, that lady who was the water skier and that couple, like, weren't they the miracle?
Incredible, yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. So they are my higher levels are the wisdom, you know, I do believe that actually there's a version of me and there's guidance from around, you know, that, and I have started to believe that, you know, when we say there are angels here, there and everything, that everywhere, that actually, it's actually myself at a higher level, you know, not some stranger or some stray angel nearly. It's just, there's a part of me that is in my spirit, right? It may not always be embodied, you know,
yeah,
in reality, but actually it's working away there all the time and I can access it. And suppose I access it more now than ever. I think in the beginning, I didn't even have that awareness, you know, but the more I call on it, and I don't always, but some days I will, I kind of say, okay, I need something to kind of start my day. And I'll say, okay, show me something interesting or, you know, surprise me today. I love surprises. So, yeah. Did that answer the question?
And I'm also inspired by, you know, recently you went on the walk of the Camino de Santiago with your daughter and your granddaughter, three generations of, you know, in the female line. So I'd love to hear a bit about that, because what inspired you to do that, and how inspirational was it for you?
Well, it came about because my granddaughter was in transition year, which means that, you know, for that year, she's in school, but they're encouraged to have as many different experiences as they can.
Mm.
And then also to do something that will benefit other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been doing some of the Irish Caminos here, and my daughter was listening to me and she just came up with the idea. Why don't the three of us do the Camino? And then it was for Blana then, okay, what will we do to benefit others? And because Ukraine had happened And Blanid is a child, well, a teenager. She wanted to support children, you know, the children of Ukraine. So it was decided to raise funds for UNICEF for Ukraine.
Right.
So, and it just all came together then. And we had booked our trip. Now we booked our route and we had booked our transfers and our hotels, which varied from 2-star to 4-star. And so all of that part of it was taken care of. And all we had to do then was get up and walk, reach each destination every day, and then, you know, complete the journey. So in a way, it wasn't the only thing that was inspiring about it at the time for me was it's new. And because of us being kind of locked down for the last 2 years, it was like, let me out of here. I really want new and different experiences, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the adventure.
Mm.
And the three of us set off, and it was wonderful. It was a very special time. Every day we wrote on Facebook about how the day had been, just to keep in touch with people.
Mm.
And we were kind of blown away by several things, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing was, you know, how peaceful we were. It was incredible. There were three of us. Okay. Every day we walked a lot, like we averaged about 24K a day, which is a lot of walking.
Yeah.
And the first day, everything was new, you know, so, and we didn't know what to expect. And the first kind of slight kind of, what would you say, surprise was that actually there was an hour difference what we had expected.
Yeah.
And so therefore we couldn't start as early as we had intended. So we just adjusted, all right? And also there were no places to eat on the way because it was probably too early in the year. So luckily we had snacks, but again, it was kind of a learning. We were kind of, all we had to do was, you know, go with everything that happened. And that's exactly what we did. You know, there was no conflict. There was no conflict between us. We actually walked at the same pace. Would you believe that?
It's like you were in kind of unison or synchronized in energy. Yeah,
because at home, if Elaine and I walked with Blanid, she'd be gone like a bullet, you know. So it was very interesting how it was almost like the energy took over and we walked. So every day we learned something from the day before. And day one then was kind of going all by the sea and then a bit through the mountains. Day two was all by the sea. It was the most spectacular day. The scenes, the scenery, oh my God, we were just blown away completely by it. It was really beautiful. We found the days long, but you know, we kept on going. And that evening, Elaine was coming down a step and she twisted her ankle. So that was okay. She thought it was okay. She went to bed that night, but she had an awful night. And so she thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? I have to walk this. And, you know, next morning she got up and I had Arnica and I gave it to her. And all of a sudden she thought, okay, my foot isn't too bad. So I headed off in a taxi to get K2 tape. And she strapped her leg, her ankle. Blanid had her arches. She's a dancer. So her arches were killing her and she was blistered. So we wrapped the blister plasters and K2 tape as well. And we started off again and everybody was able to walk. So day three was wonderful as well. And this time it was through the mountains, you know. So the scenery for the first 3 days was amazing. But by day three, we were really recognizing that, oh my God, we are so peaceful. We have no dilemmas here. And it was the simplicity and pureness of the days, you know. So all we had to do was eat, get up and walk. And then eat, sleep, get up. And it just, what it meant as I was going along, I thought, you know what? If we could only live our days, it's almost like one foot in front of the other. But there is a kind of a bigger, there's a plan, all right. But, and you have a focus, because I knew where we were going. We knew where we were going, but we didn't know how we were getting there. But the peacefulness, even though that's one of the things that struck me. My emotions, all of our emotions were at peace. Our minds were at peace. Our bodies were hurting, but we were still peaceful. Wasn't that incredible? You know, so the body was suffering, but the mind and the emotions were at peace. And what struck me the other day was, could it be that because we were aligned with what we had set out to do and we were doing it, you know, so in other words, we weren't saying, oh, I'm not going to do it, or no, I don't want to do it today.
Yep.
Actually, we just kept doing what we had set out to do. We weren't thinking ahead to the next day. We were just going through every day as we met it, one foot in front of the other. And it was just so, so peaceful and so life-giving, you know, despite hurts, legs and everything else.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, at the beginning there, when I was doing the centering, I was talking about alignment of head, heart and gut. And it sounds like the three of you were in alignment, you know, as individuals together. And yeah, it's amazing. You know, when you describe that, there's such simplicity. So I think you use the word purity. And what would it be like, you know, because a lot of us complain about, you know, life is so complicated and we've too much to do and too little time. So, you know, what has that taught you, that experience?
That really, having a focus and then actually just doing what it is that focus is, you know, so... in other words, just supposing it was today I'm going to, you know, I have my taxes to do, right? Doing that, you know, just doing it. However, I'm going to put in something into it, right?
Yeah.
And that is this. I would do that if I have a focus and we say it is to do my taxes, right? Yeah. But I get up the next day and I haven't committed to it fully, right? I haven't booked hotels and, you know, kind of set the whole thing in motion. I've just decided in my head, I'm going to do my taxes. I get up the next day and all of a sudden I don't want to do it. You know, my mind doesn't want to do it. Right. What I do then is I don't do it. And I don't go against myself. What I will do instead is I'll do whatever, anything else. And some other day, I'll find actually that I'm doing my taxes effortlessly. It just happens because I don't go against myself. So that struck me today that that did not happen on the Camino because I wanted to do it. We were all in it together.
Yep.
We had it planned for a long time. I was looking forward to do it. With the taxes, I don't necessarily look forward to doing them. Mm-hmm. So I have to find a way that is in alignment with my own energy so that I won't go against myself. I won't kind of, that's my whole thing about trust yourself and trust life. You know that that wasn't the right day, but another day I just fell into it and next thing I'm doing my taxes. So there's a kind of a distinction there between the two.
Yeah, I can hear that. And I suppose, you know, people talk about resistance and internal resistance and then external pushback and, you know, people questioning and kind of, you know, putting pressure. So Yeah, there's something there about how do we align with ourselves and how do we, because I heard commitment, you know, the booking of the hotels and everything was, you know, paid for and organized. What's that? What's the equivalent of that in our daily life? How do we make sure we're kind of signed up to something? One of the courses I did recently, the phrase that was used is how, you know, how can you be all in instead of just one toe in and one toe out?
I think really the key there is that you must really want to do what it is that you're doing, you know, to be all in. And be it that it's something challenging or be it something that you just love to do. You know, we were all into the Camino. We wanted new experiences. We wanted to see how we'd get on, you know, all of that. Every bit of that was an adventure, really. You know, sometimes in daily life, there's nothing adventurous about it. It's just, okay, the mundane.
True.
You know.
And I suppose with how we look at things as well. This year, you know, at the start of every year, I take some time for reflection. So I call it, you know, entering with intention. I take a few weeks. And I wrote a commitment. And one of the things I wrote in the commitment was that I would only say yes, and this is kind of like to work or new work, I would only say yes if I had a wholehearted and whole-bodied yes, so that it wasn't a kind of a maybe or a half, you know, it's like my whole body had to feel it and my whole heart had to feel it. And I noticed the difference. It really helps me to be clear. If it's not that, then it's a no.
Yeah.
And that helps me to make decisions much more easily, because I can tend to get flooded and kind of think, oh, maybe I should. But actually, my body has been a great guide for me in, no, that's a no, if I'm not jumping around feeling excited. And there are things that are boring and mundane. And actually, I think for me, what I'm noticing is that if I can connect to the higher value, you know, what is this about, or what does this mean in my life? How does it serve my life? Then I'm able to find a kind of a place in me where actually there's a buy-in within me. So it's a process. It's kind of, I wouldn't say I have it sorted, but I'm on the path.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm curious to know, and is there, I mean, I know you said the phrase earlier about, you know, what else is possible. Is there a kind of a mantra or a belief that really guides your life? Is there something that, you know, you hold to?
I keep changing things, you know, depending on where I'm at a particular time. Like, what was interesting was when we had set out on the Camino, I had said beforehand, oh, I'm going to do a thought for the day, right? But actually, we were there that morning and Lorna and Liam were laughing at me. I wonder, will I have a thought for the day? And then it just occurred to me then, what am I talking about? Actually, this is living. I don't need a thought for the day. And it made me realize that sometimes having a thought for the day, or having, you know, the need for something to kind of prompt me, tells me that actually I'm not as in kind of the zone maybe that I, the zone that I'd really like to be, you know. But when I was in it, there was no need for it. So the ones that I would use, like, what else is possible, definitely, you know. And I might even do it, you know, sometime during the day, if something is going wrong, we'll say, I might think, okay, well, what else is possible here that I haven't considered? And the interesting thing about that is you don't answer the question, you see. So it's not like I'm searching for an answer then.
Yeah.
I'm actually putting out the energy out into the powers that be, we'll say, just to see what else might happen, you know. And because the whole thing about not answering that question is, and leaving it out there in the ethers, is to keep my energy open, to keep my senses open, to keep my my antennae, you know, out there. And then, so that will be one thing that I'd say that will be the more normal one and surprise me today, you know, those kind of things. And then, you know, recently I've had a few things health-wise, and sometimes my physical energy has been low and slow and whatever. And talking to a friend of mine, this came in to me, which was, walk vibrantly upon the earth as a full of health human being. Tune into the energy that makes the grass grow. And that kind of boosts my energy. Be surprised how it gets me up a hill, you know?
Say that again, Anne, because that sounds really powerful.
Yeah. Walk vibrantly upon the earth as a full of health human being. Tune into the energy that makes the grass grow.
Wow. I could feel that in my body. It feels very powerful.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I once cycled the Ring of Bera, tuning into the energy that makes the grass grow. And when I could hardly cycle 20K without getting exhausted, I got around the Ring of Bera in a completely non-conflict zone. It was like I was in that miracle zone where, yeah, no conflict. Again, a bit like the Camino, but in this case, I was on my own. So there is a vibrancy. There is something that we can tap into.
When you say tune in, Anne, you know, I mean, it sounds very simple, but what are you doing when you're tuning in? What does that look and feel like for anybody who's listening? How would they begin to tune in?
You have to work with what works with you, for you, right? So for me, words work, right? Yes. So words carry some kind of energy. Mm-hmm. So like when I heard that phrase, tune into the energy that makes the grass grow, immediately I had an image of, you know, the power of the grass. It never stops growing, you know, it just keeps coming. And so I connect with that energy then. It's like I can sense it, and it just sinks into my system or something, and I just resonate with that. You know, other words mightn't do it for me at all. So I think that when tuning in is really, if you know what inspires you, if you know what lights you up, or if you find sometimes that you've listened to something or you've come across something and you just feel that shift in your body,
yep,
that's something that works for you, you know. Mm. And you kind of tune in automatically, you know what I mean? It's not like you have to work to it.
Yeah, it just happens.
Yeah, it just happens. And you can almost feel the shift from one state to another.
It's funny, I live by the sea, and there's kind of at the edge of the slipway, there's a stream that runs, but it's really powerful. It kind of runs into the sea every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just stand above that, and it's almost like I feel the power of the water. Mm-hmm. And I feel the power of the energy of the water. That's a stream coming from up the mountain, you know, high up on the hill somewhere, that's flowing down. And if I can connect into the power of that and the sea, you know, because for me, the sea is, it's a big container. It gives life. It's, it kind of comes and goes. It has a power all of its own. So I suppose for each of us to find what it is that energizes us and what inspires us, that we can actually feel with our body and bring in, it's like you bring it into your body almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, Monica. And sometimes music does it, you know.
True. Yeah.
Something that, you know, something really powerful, you know, or I don't know, you know, even, you know, that song, You Raise Me Up.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there are so many places that, and so many aspects of life where we can be energized, you know, by, or, and I'm sure everybody's different, like, you know, and you as well with the sea, you know, it's, I suppose we have the capacity for that, which is wonderful. Yeah.
And I suppose it's kind of making the time, and it doesn't have to be a lot of time, just to kind of come present to that and become more conscious of it. Because when we're too busy, it's like we're just kind of, we're sleeping through life, really.
Yeah, yeah. I do think, you know, that's why I say in my, what my purpose is to free minds and spirits.
Mm.
I do think we need to know how our mind works and be able to let it ramble on if it's going to ramble on, and not buy into it all the time, you know. And so that those little tuning in, you know, that completely bypasses the mind.
True. And I mean, the mind has its benefits sometimes, but as you say, it can run away with us. And would you have any suggestions for people as to how they might do more of that, you know, tuning in and instead of letting the mind run away with them?
Well, I think firstly, you've got to recognize, you know, when your mind is running away from with you, you know, and really, as you said earlier, Monica, you know, your body is a guide.
Mm.
If you're feeling discomfort, or if you're noticing your thoughts are kind of going
mm-hmm.
negative, or, you know, they're not the best, like, you don't, even you can tell by your face, you know, or even if you find, you know, your posture has gone down like that, you know, you can kind of say, you can check yourself and say, okay, how is what I'm thinking making me feel, you know? And then just check, okay, is what I'm thinking true? Is it true? Or do I really believe that, you know? Because we have, I don't know, is it 50,000 thoughts at least a day?
Something like that.
A lot of them are everybody else's, you know, they're kind of a mix and gather them of stuff. And they can be running around the place all the time, like little kids, you know, causing trouble.
Running amok.
But actually, if you can catch it, then you can actually decide, okay, you know what? You can't stop it, right? But you can say, look, you go over there now and you rant away and I'm going to do this, you know? I had a tremendous experience in India. When I was 50, I went to India in order to not have control, right?
Oh.
I'm continually disrupting myself so that I get out of that control thing. And by goodness, did I get out of control. I had no control. And it was the toughest experience. But what I noticed was, I was up in an ashram and we were being silent. My mind, oh my God, the poison in it. And the thoughts and the vitriol and the, you know, it was just incredible. But because we were silent and there was nothing else to do, I actually could see it, you know.
Yeah.
I got to become aware of, wow, this is the mind on a rant, you know? And it was very powerful because once I actually recognized, gosh, look at how vicious this is. I thought, okay, I can see this happening. So I don't have to be part of it. It really gave me that separation from it.
That's the word that was coming up for me. Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I did this, I did a 10-day silent Vipassana, again, donkeys years ago. And again, the mind, because you weren't allowed to make eye contact. And the men were segregated from the women. And you were walking around in a little circle and you couldn't have anything extra. You know, I asked for tomatoes. I wasn't given it. So, of course, my mind was going bananas, you know. It was to realize, you know, how much control that I wanted, you know. And again, to see, like, I was in it for a couple of days. Every day I was leaving. But every night, the kind of guru, they had a video, and he said something. And I thought, okay, I'll stay till tomorrow. So I stayed the 10 days, but every day I was going because my mind was so strong. So I actually think if somebody would do a silent retreat, it would really help them to get to experience what the mind can be like, but also then to separate themselves from it. I mean, they call the Vipassana, that 10-day silent retreat, deep surgery of the mind. Oh. For good reason. So if you're able for it, I would say do it, because it is extremely tough, you know. Even try maybe 2 days of something in a kind of a supported environment.
Yeah, it would need to be all right, I'd say, because, you know, for some people that might be a bridge too far. But I mean, for me, you know, sometimes when I'm driving lately, I always turn off the radio and just let my thoughts come. I give them permission to kind of just, while I'm driving, they can be doing what they want, and I just won't take any notice of them. And the odd time I might get a real nugget of something, and I'll hold on to that. But most of the time, I just let them kind of go wild. It's the one place where I kind of feel, I'm just going to put off the radio. I won't listen to any music. I won't listen to any podcasts. Sorry, not even this one. And just let the thoughts run, because it kind of gives them free rein. It's like I'm letting them go in the fields.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's fun to watch where they go.
It's hilarious. Yeah. And you know, sometimes the thought, I see myself having thoughts that are judgmental, or thoughts that are planning about things, and I'm so serious about it, or thoughts that I've had 1,000 times before that I've done nothing about. It's like a comedy all of its own. But it is, I love doing it in that space, because I'm doing it by choice.
I think that's one of the keys, isn't it? You know, that you're actually aware of what you're doing, so you're not at the mercy of it.
Exactly. Because sometimes,
I don't know if I answered your question or not, Monica. I've forgotten.
I think you've answered all of the questions, and you've added an awful lot more richness as well. You know, you've added peace, because I was saying, you know, what was your mantra? What were ways that, you know, you might offer to people? Just see. One of the things I'm always curious of, and I know we just have a few minutes left, is, you know, where did this all start for you? Because I know you were kind of in the corporate world. Yeah. Where did you begin to kind of follow this path of inspiration and trusting in life?
It started with me being coached. Back, I think probably 25 years ago, by a lady in Israel who was tough as nails. She put me off, she put me through my paces, I can tell you. I was a moaner, I was complaining, I was a victim, you name it, I was it. And the very first call she had, Anne, you're not Jesus Christ, you're not a martyr, get off the cross, you know. So we had a fantastic coaching relationship. She was as tough as nails, but what was beautiful about that relationship was that she could see, she believed in me, first of all, right? She was willing to challenge me. I felt like sometimes she had me up against the wall and she was firing bullets at me. Well, I thrived in it, because I'd never had that kind of support or interest from anybody before, you know? And it was like she knocked all those corners off me, all those, you know. And actually, I learned to be strategic through her. And that was the start of my journey. And I suppose the start of Trust Life was when I started my own business. I think I left corporate probably 2 years later. And when I started, I just, wherever I met people, you know, I was at a conference, I met people, I was showing my house to somebody, and they'd all ask me, what do you do? What do you work at? And I'd say, I'm a coach. And they'd say, oh, well, we want to hire you, you know, because whatever vibe I had, whatever energy I had going on, it was drawing people to me. you know. Yeah, and coaching was new. Like, I was a pioneer of coaching in Ireland at the time.
Yeah.
It was new. So that started, you know, it was like, okay. That was, they, that to me was, it was seamless, you know. It was miraculous nearly, you know. Yeah, it was fantastic.
We're back to the miraculous.
We are, yeah.
It's funny, we've kind of done a full turn. And actually, I remember, because you were my very first coach, and I remember one of the things that has never left me was I always had trouble trying to make up my mind. It was, I knew more about what other people needed than what I needed myself. And I really struggled with kind of making decisions for myself. And I remember driving once, and we were supposed to have a call, and I rang you to say, look, I'd love to have the call with you, Anne, and I want to go to the NLP course in Tipperary. And you just stopped me in my tracks with a question, and you said, but what do you want? And I sat there thinking, you know, I was shell-shocked. And it was something around, I had a choice that I could choose for me and the world wouldn't fall apart, that you wouldn't suddenly hate me and the people in Tipperary would still live if I didn't go there, and that I could sit with myself for 2 minutes and really feel into what did I want. And I think in the end, I did go to Tipperary, and we, you know, many years later, we're still connected. So it didn't destroy our relationship. But for me, that was a pivotal moment that I've never forgotten, because it allowed me to recognize that it's okay to think for yourself. It's okay to stop and check in with yourself what you need. And not always, because actually when you do that, you please everybody anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, a question that I would ask people to ask themselves is, how do you know when you can trust yourself and trust your instincts?
Wow.
Trust your kind of what's pulling you, what's calling you. How do you know when you can trust that, you know? And Seamus Heaney had this epitaph, right, on his grave, and it is, rise above your better judgment.
Well, rise above your better judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean to you, Anne?
It means going beyond logic. You know, don't always use logic when you're thinking about whatever it is you want to do, when you're considering your life, you know. And if life were an adventure, you know, if you were to rise above your better judgments, what else might be possible for you, you know?
That sounds very powerful. And I'm conscious we're coming to the end. So is there any last word you'd like to offer to everybody, just as a parting shot?
I would say, actually, you know, start learning when you can trust yourself, and then when you can't. In other words, if you're somebody who says, oh, I'm going to go on a diet on Monday, and you know you're not going to do it, you know, that's when you can't trust yourself. But when you know something, when really and truly you find that something is happening, you don't like it, you don't want it, or whatever that is, and even if you don't know what else you want, trust that you don't want that particular thing, and allow yourself to let life unfold in front of you, but keep trusting your heart and your soul, you know. Trust what's inside you, niggling you, calling you, and see, can you be curious about what that is and follow it?
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Monica.
That sounds like a real powerful recipe for life.
Thank you. I hope so.
So I wish everybody who's been listening, you know, I trust that you're taking one nugget for yourself. And I wish you the best until we connect again. And our next podcast will be with a very interesting man called Pedro Ribeiro Lopes, who's from Portugal, and he has a very interesting project that he's about to start on. So he'll be in our next podcast. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Monica.
Oh, well.